Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis. I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun. Las Vegas Sun, you better believe it. LasVegasSun.com, Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group. Welcome back to the studio. To my left and in your hearts, Tricia McCrone.
I'm back.
She's
it's like a
here.
Poltergeist. I'm actually here. I know.
The
I walk
ghost
in ever
of Christmas
at the station.
Past.
I'm like, there really is a dish in Cats with a Dish again. Really. I really am.
You were
so
becoming
part of the show.
Like my Vera.
I know, exactly.
There's a TV reference for
I
you,
love
kids.
It. I love it. Little
Vera
cheers.
Vera McCrone.
There you go. So, it's good to be back. I have missed you all. I have missed Catsy. I've missed
yes.
Steven in the control room. I've missed you guys so much. Yes, I've been gone. And
you were in Montana. The family takes a trip to Montana every year.
Yeah, and it got extended a
it
little
got
bit
extended
this
a little
year.
Bit for...
Yeah, as a matter of fact. So, and I may be absent next week. So, but then I will be back to my normal schedule. Yes,
right.
We'll be back to the normal same time.
So how's everything going with you? I'm asked about Trish all the time in the public forum.
It's
in
good.
The marketplace.
It's really good. I mean,
you guys
it's,
have
it
a new,
was a
you
really,
have a new home, the family.
Yes, I'm in transition, moving
Everybody's
into a new
moving.
House, and I'm having a very difficult time with that right now. But it's like I'm kind of half. I have 1 foot here and 1 foot in Montana, but I am going to jump both feet into here, definitely. And last night we went to see our old friend Gordy Brown.
Yeah, we saw
which
Gordy
nice.
Last
He took
night.
Us to a wonderful dinner after, which was really
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, we saw Gordy Brown, who, as they say in tennis, he never leaves it on the court, this guy. He puts it out there. He does dozens of impressions every time. No two shows are alike. He's got a great band behind him, a great man. And we went with the famous Marilyn.
Yes, my mother.
McCrone.
Yes.
And enjoyed
it. Who is the best laugh on the planet?
Yeah, the best audience member in town, man. If you want to have a one-person laugh track, bring Marilyn.
Bring
to the
yeah,
show.
Exactly. She's going to be like, I'm going to start hiring her out for money because she will make everybody start laughing.
And Gordy's kicking it up there at the Golden Nugget, doing very well. And he's had a good run in the summer. And we had a nice time with him at the Grotto.
And I also want to throw in really quick, because we are recording this episode. Obviously, it airs Friday morning. We're recording it on Wednesday, which
on Wednesday.
Is September 11th.
Yes.
So, you know, just a little shout out to never forget what our country went through, and a shout out to all our servicemen and women out there
and
defending our country and their families
you.
Back home.
And first responders.
Yes, and the first responders.
The people who run in when everybody else is running out.
Yep, and their families, because, you know, it's like they kind of pay the ticket,
exactly.
You know, back home. So. That's the end
together,
of my serious note.
Brings us together in support as a country. That's one thing that tragedy does. This week, we have a familiar name and voice.
And this
on
may
our
also
show.
Be the last time you get to speak, because I completely take over these interviews.
Something special always happens when we have Josh Bell on, and that's that I get to just, this is the time of the week when I just turn on and off the studio lights. So stick around. I know we will. Josh Bell and Fall TV Preview is up next.
Hi, this is Clint Holmes. I am at Cabaret Jazz at the Smith Center, and you are listening to Cats with the Dish. Yes!
Yeah! Welcome back. Joining us now is the city's premier film and TV critic, and he's a fine music critic too, folks. He's been writing for Las Vegas Weekly for quite a while, more than a decade, under the title Josh Bell Hates Everything, but he doesn't really hate everything. He's also a weekly contributor to our show, if you listen to our show, and today he's here to talk about the fall TV lineup. Thanks for joining us once more, Josh Bell.
Yay!
Thanks for having me once more, and such a warm welcome.
I know, it's just me, yay! I'm the only one in here.
Yeah,
we don't have our normal big audience
yeah,
that we
your
usually do.
Audience?
Exactly, we usually have a huge studio
they're
audience.
They're looking for parking.
It's early, exactly. School's back, no one can get parking. Okay, now, I love when Josh Bell comes in because,
love when Josh
like,
Bell comes
seriously,
in. So
like, it is... my sparring partner, I feel like, in a way. Because, I mean, I feel like he is the only one that watches as much television as I do.
I don't know if I even watch as much television as you do, to
he
be perfectly
TV
honest.
He watches TV so the rest of us don't have to.
Except, I watch everything. So it's like, but I do have to say, before we went to air, we had a disagreement over something that is just killing me.
Let's
Breaking
revisit
Bad.
That. Breaking Bad, which is universally
it's one of the hottest shows out there. There's only 3 episodes left. We're all wondering, except for Josh Bell, how it's going to end. And so, I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me that, you know, you're not excited about Breaking Bad.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not too hard on Breaking Bad because obviously you're certainly not the only one who loves it. So
yeah.
It's just something that I never connected with or got into. I tried. I watched the first 2 seasons of the show, and I really struggled to get through that second season. I just really had no interest in the characters. I had no interest in the story.
Even after I let Jane die, my gosh, that was horrifying.
No, spoilers for anyone
who hasn't seen
Breaking Bad. No, it just didn't grab me in any way, and I felt like, I think if I watch 2 seasons of a show and I don't have any interest in it, I feel justified in not watching the rest of it. But I'm one of the only people who's not a fan.
Like, even though we've differed on some things, I don't get it. But this is the first time that I really was completely shocked by something that you did. Like, I mean, I get a lot of people don't like Walking Dead, you know, like gave Walking Dead a chance, and you either love it or you don't like it. It's one of those things. Like, I see the other side. I don't see anybody not liking Breaking Bad. But I'm going to let it go because Bryan Cranston is brilliant and he's my new crush.
Bryan Cranston is a great actor, and you're absolutely right. I don't know that I've met anyone else who watched Breaking Bad and didn't like it. There's still a lot of people who haven't seen it or maybe aren't really interested in seeing it, but it does seem to win over virtually everyone who watches it, so I'll be in the minority on
that. Well, what is your favorite television show right now?
My favorite current television show?
Yes, not the new season, what was currently out there.
Well, I mean, stuff has been off the air. I mean, the summer was pretty horrendous, but my favorite show of this past year was probably The Americans on FX.
I loved it. Okay, see, we're back. Yeah. We're back. We are back. I really thought it was great. I mean, although I was a huge Felicity fan, I'm a huge, you know, like J.J. Abrams Felicity fan, and I think she's brilliant. And what's his name?
Matthew Reese. Yes.
I loved him in Brothers and Sisters. He's great. It's a really cool concept about the Soviet Union and the 80s and spies living among us, which has turned out to be true.
It's a great show, and it's really, I mean, it's a really interesting high concept, but the character work on that show is really excellent. And I agree, Carrie Russell, and I was also a big Felicity fan.
Oh my gosh, we're so together now.
I think
we're
Carrie
getting
Russell
past Breaking Bad.
Great.
We're making up. This is like a version of a relationship making up. Okay.
I want to interject one thing.
Please.
To ask about Josh's approach to what he does, because I've known Josh for a very long time, and we've worked together. And I was talking to another critic not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
Someone in our field,
yes,
who does this for a living and is in a national scope. And we were talking about a show that in town, I won't name the show, but it was pretty much universally appreciated, this particular, it was a stage show in Las Vegas.
Right.
And this person said to me, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I kind of said, well, why not? And he took it to mean like I was defending the show. And I was just curious as to what he saw in the show that was pretty much, you know, across the board appreciated that nobody else did. And he said to me, because I come from a contrarian place. And I thought of you when he said that.
I mean,
are you hardwired to come in from maybe a different perspective than even people who do this for a living than the average fan? Do you think you come in from a different point of view, a different standard, and have to be convinced maybe more aggressively than a lot of people?
I don't know. I mean, I think I wouldn't want to say that I come from a contrarian point of view, because to me that implies that you're looking to dislike something.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Or even furthermore, that you're looking to just disagree with everyone else. Contrarian meaning that you're going against the grain. And I wouldn't want to say, oh, I don't like this just because everyone else likes it. Or there's a lot to enjoy here, but I'm going to focus on what is bad about it because I like tearing things down. Mm-hmm. That's not true at all. I mean,
right.
Maybe I use that little Josh Bell hates everything branding. It's meant to be amusing.
Yeah.
Because I suppose I have high standards, and so maybe some people view it that way. But I mean, I'm offering my opinions. I don't think my opinions on movies and TV shows are any different than they were when I wasn't a critic, when I was just someone who liked to watch movies and liked to watch TV. I think I apply the same standards. All I'm doing is giving you my opinion that's informed by what I've seen and what I know. And maybe my standards are higher or different than some other people's, but other people's standards are different than mine. I mean, there's certainly stuff that I like that other people will look at me and say, what is wrong with you? That's terrible. How could you like that? So I don't know. I definitely wouldn't want to say that I'm contrarian for the purpose of being contrarian. If I don't like something, it's because I don't like it genuinely, not just because other people like it or I feel like it'd be good to tear it down.
But you like a lot of things that are popular. Like you like Mad Men.
Sure, I love Mad Men.
Yeah, and I mean, Downton Abbey you enjoyed.
Yeah, well, I liked Downton Abbey maybe the first season. I think Downton Abbey is not really as good as it once was. But sure, I mean, just because something's popular doesn't mean that it's bad, and not at all. Mad Men absolutely is one of my favorite shows.
And now this is going to be the last season of Mad Men. Let's talk this upcoming year, even though it doesn't start till 2014, let's start getting into the new season. What is a highlight for you on the new TV season of the new shows premiering?
The new TV season, well, honestly, it's pretty bleak, to be perfectly honest.
Wow.
Having watched, I think, 25 or 26 pilots, there's very little that I liked. I did enjoy, probably my favorite was actually not a network show, was Showtime's Masters of Sex, which premieres at the end of this month.
The guy that played, oh gosh, I can't think of his name.
Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen, who is brilliant. And a brilliant film actor. A lot of film actors are actually going to, especially cable, television series. I've heard that it's very good.
It is very good. And it's about Masters and Johnson, who were these pioneering sex researchers in the 1950s. Michael Sheen and Lizzie Kaplan are the two main stars. And it was really interesting to me because, first of all, I think we've gotten so many of these cable dramas over the last couple years, stuff like Ray Donovan or Low Winter Sun or even The Bridge, that are about these sort of dark, brooding anti-heroes. Yeah. And I feel like it's gotten it's very highly influenced by Breaking Bad, a show
I felt like Low Winter Sun was just kind of trying to, that Breaking Bad's ending, like AMC is like, we got to have something that is like kind of like it. Like,
exactly.
And I couldn't watch it.
Yeah.
It was
and
a rip-off.
I'm not a fan of any of those shows that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
So I think it's good that this is a very different kind of cable drama. It's serious and it deals with a serious subject, but it's also very lighthearted. It's very funny. It's very character driven. And it's the kind of thing that you might get in a biopic, like a Hollywood movie. But because it's a TV series, they don't have to hit all of those beats really quickly within 2 hours. So they can kind of let things breathe and really take a more casual, sort of leisurely approach to telling the story, which I really liked. Again, I've only seen the first episode. I don't know how it's going to play out over the first season.
But it's promising.
But it's definitely promising. I liked that a lot.
Anything else that you can think was? You said it's pretty bleak. But
well, it is. I mean, that's not
like,
the...
I mean, you've got Marvel. You've got the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
coming
I did
out,
enjoy it.
Because, I mean, obviously, I love... I love Joss Whedon. I was a huge Buffy fan.
Yes.
I was a huge Firefly fan. So,
I mean, I love Joss Whedon as well. I was a fan of all those shows. I even liked Dollhouse, which a lot of people
didn't watch
like.
It. That's one thing I did not watch, but yeah.
Yeah, I think underrated Dollhouse. And of course, the Avengers movie, which is what this is a spinoff of. Not just the Avengers movie, but also the whole Marvel movie universe, Thor, the Hulk, Iron Man, etc., Captain America. And so obviously this is capitalizing on all that, but I think it's definitely very Joss Whedon-esque. If you like all those other Joss Whedon shows, again, at least in the pilot, which he directed and either wrote or co-wrote. He's not going to be the showrunner going forward, which is maybe a little concerning.
Yeah.
But the people who are running it are people that he's worked with for a long time, including his brother. So that's good. I mean, people who've worked on his other shows. And it very much had that Joss Whedon mix of kind of the quippy dialogue and the big genre stuff. It's got action and it's got a conspiracy and intrigue and all that kind of stuff, but mixed with some really intriguing characters. So again, having only seen the first episode, I do think it's promising. It's something that I'll certainly watch as a comic book fan, as a fan of those Marvel movies, and I think it'll definitely bring in that audience.
You spoke very highly in a story in Las Vegas Weekly that you wrote about that previewed the TV season about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Andy Samberg's sitcom.
Yes, that was, and that actually premieres this coming Tuesday. That was probably the best comedy. Again, most of the comedies were really awful. So
yeah, I heard. I heard that Dads was that some people are saying that they're predicting that the first show to be canceled, and that's a surprisingly Seth MacFarlane. You know, like because obviously he's kind of with Ted and stuff like that. He was kind of on a hot role in Family Guy, and from what I've seen, that's kind of what some people are guessing to be the first show to be canceled.
I hope it is. I really do because it's so bad, and I'm not a Seth MacFarlane fan. I don't like Family Guy. I didn't like Ted. I've never liked Seth MacFarlane, but I think even so, this show is so painfully unfunny. And I think a lot of the humor that works on Family Guy that can be kind of crass and potentially offensive when it's presented on an animated show, you know, it's not really, it's there's a disconnect from reality.
Same thing with Ted. I mean, he could be completely unpolitically correct and very, make racial slurs and things that might, that would be much harsher coming out of a real person.
Right.
And this is in front of a studio audience.
And this is in front of a studio audience that goes very nuts for every terrible, sexist, racist, homophobic joke they make on this show. And I mean, beyond what may be offensive to some people, to me, like, it was just really lazy. It's really not funny. And to me, one of the worst things was you go through this entire episode where these characters just treat each other terribly. They insult each other. They're awful, obnoxious people. And then they try to sell you this bonding moment at the end where Seth Green and his dad, they really love each other. And it's like a total BS sitcom moment. And it just really irritated me. So, no, I would say, I think that's on either right after or right before the Andy Samberg show, which is quite a contrast because that show is really humane. It's about cops in Brooklyn. It's from the creators of Parks and Recreation, and it's very similar to that show in that it's this kind of gentle humor about people who, for the most part, get along with each other. They're likable characters. You want to watch them. They're funny, but they're also genuine people, and I really liked that about that show. It's got Andy Samberg, Andre Brower, Joe Lo Truglio from The State, Chelsea Peretti, who's a comedian, Terry Crews. Mm-hmm. Who's always great.
Yeah.
It's just a really strong cast, and it's really funny. It actually made me laugh.
Well, that people have checked out. Now, Billy Bob Thornton was a surprise to me that he's in a 10-episode limited series, one of those limited series I read.
You know, I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
I just read about it.
Is that it's an FX show, maybe?
Yes,
something
it's in
coming up?
The latest Entertainment Weekly. Yes, and it's called Fargo.
Oh, is he on the Fargo
show?
Okay, yeah. I don't think that premieres until like next spring or something like that. But yeah, FX is doing a limited series based on the Fargo movie.
Yes, yeah. And I think Frances McDormand. Oh, no, the movie was Frances McDormand.
Yeah,
Bones people that are doing it.
Right. I'm skeptical about that. I forgot that Billy Bob Thornton was signed on to that. I love Fargo the movie. I don't know how it's going to translate into a TV series.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's nothing that I've seen yet. I don't know if they've even shot the pilot for that yet. It'll be probably around the same time that The Americans comes back and Justified.
And Mad Men.
And Mad Men, sort of
late winter, early spring,
we'll get that.
So now there were a lot of shows that we talked about last year that were kind of hyped, and some of them have gone by the wayside.
Yeah,
and
most
some of
them.
Yeah, a lot of them. There were the one that you really liked about the brother and sister.
Ben and Kate.
Yeah,
which,
that was canceled, and I never watched it.
It was great.
And I remember you raving about it, and that it was canceled.
I loved it. You know, a lot of these shows. This is one of the things about watching all these pilots, and I can come in and say, "Oh, this show was good. This show was not good." And a lot of the times, the shows that seem promising turn out to not.
Yeah.
Pan out very well. But Ben and Kate was one of those shows that I loved all the way through. It was really funny. It was really well acted. In fact, Dakota Johnson, who's now, I think, set
Anastasia
to be a big star.
Steele.
She's going to be in 50 Shades of Grey.
I gotta say, I disagree with the casting of the whole thing, but that's okay. Go on.
And I have no opinion on that, but I will say that she was awesome on Ben and Kate, a very different kind of part. I mean, obviously, it's a comedy. She did a lot of slapstick and physical comedy and was really great at that. So, I mean, I'm glad in the sense that I think she deserves to be a star.
Well, she's going to have to do kind of a lot of physical things in 50 Shades of Grey.
Different kinds of physical
work there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I her I don't mind
Lucky
so much. Who
double.
They chose for Christian Grey, I just didn't see it. I don't think from
Sons of Anarchy. Yes.
Yeah, I just don't think he's got the thing. I'm thinking more John F. Kennedy Jr., a little less on a motorcycle. But now, a show that I don't know, I can't remember if you liked it or not. I think you were kind of on the fence about it last year, but that I really liked, but kind of, I can understand it kind of started to get slow, and now they're saying it's going to be much better this year, of course, was Nashville.
I think I stopped watching Nashville. And from what I've read about it, it sounds like I made the right call for myself. What I liked about Nashville and what I was hoping to see from Nashville was the stuff about the country music industry. I liked the music. I thought it was a really intriguing setting.
I love the music. I think that's why I watch it, yeah.
But it sounds like it turned into more of a soap opera. And as much as I do like soap operas, That just wasn't what I was interested in for that show. But it seems like that was what brought in the audience. And so that was what they focused on. I still like the music. I think we had the soundtrack at the Las Vegas Weekly office, and I picked that up and I was listening to it and thinking, you know, the music was still strong, but I didn't really have a lot of interest in the drama.
Yeah, I find myself after the episodes, it works well. I download. I go to iTunes and
yeah,
I download.
They like when you do that.
They love when I do that. But also another one which we both loved the first season of. And then I think the second season was a little weak, and now they have a new showrunner, was Revenge.
Yeah, I agree with you. The second season was very weak, to the point where I'm not particularly excited about this new season. And on the one hand, a new showrunner might help. But on the other hand, the previous showrunner was the creator of the show, who brought together the first season, which was really strong. And one of his reasons for leaving was that he was looking for shorter seasons to tell more compact, complete stories, which I think would have really helped. And the network said, that's not happening. And so he left. So I don't have a lot of high hopes for Revenge. I mean, we're talking about soap operas. That's a total soap opera.
Yeah.
And I think it was a really good soap opera in the first season, and it just became a mess in the second season. So yeah, there's not a lot of returning shows that are coming back in the fall that I'm really that looking forward to.
I like Vampire Diaries.
Are you looking forward to the originals?
I thought I would not like the originals because I like the cast on Vampire Diaries, but they did kind of an episode, a preview, kind of like their pilot, I guess
right.
it was. They put their pilot in Vampire Diaries. Like they just kind of bookended it with
right.
And I enjoyed it. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. So
yeah.
I think I'm going to test it out. I'm going to wait and see what happens. But I mean, I definitely liked it. But what's interesting is that I kind of Netflix and things like that. And now DirecTV is coming out with a series.
There are shows everywhere. Yeah, DirecTV had a show. I never watched, actually, the Rogue with Tandy Newton.
Yes,
that they
I
had
didn't watch
recently.
It either. But now there's a new one coming out that's like got David Boreanaz, and it has Julian
McMahon. Neil LaBute. Yeah, there's shows
yeah.
everywhere. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we
where
talk.
Where you can watch it all in one time, which is kind of like what people are going to.
Right,
like me with Breaking Bad all summer.
And I don't like watching shows that way. In fact, another one of my favorite shows is Orange is the New Black on
I just
Netflix,
started watching it, yes, on
and
Netflix.
Which I think it was great, but I watched that other than having to watch a bunch at the beginning to write a review, I watched those maybe one or two a week at most, and I don't ever get into the idea of watching that much of a show at one time. I mean, maybe it's because there's always other things I want to watch or movies that I want to see, but to me, it's too much. I like sort of spacing it out. And I think still the way they make the shows, and one of the problems with this model, with this Netflix model, is that they're still making the show as if you're watching it show. I mean, they've got cliffhangers at the ends of certain episodes. They've got storylines that are broken up into episode by episode. They tried, Mitch Hurwitz tried with Arrested Development with the fourth season to make a show.
Apparently that didn't work. Like, it didn't
and I didn't
on,
think it really worked.
People loved the original Arrested Development.
That is a very interesting point about Netflix. And I have a question about that. I got to do this first. So you're listening to Cats with a Dish. We are previewing the new fall TV lineup with Josh Bell of Josh Bell Hates Everything, who is a contributor to this show every week and also to Las Vegas Weekly. Does a TV show have, or you don't even call it a TV show, I guess it's on Netflix, but a series
you
have
can a... still call it a TV
a
show.
A TV show on Netflix have a greater viability over the course of time than it would on television? Is there less pressure to satisfy any ratings requirement for a show like Arrested Development, which was very highly reviewed but didn't get great ratings? Does it enhance its chances on Netflix?
I mean, maybe
to go as long as it wants to.
I think Netflix, having only done a handful of original shows at this point, they're still figuring that out. The idea, I was reading something interesting recently that when they launched these new shows, Netflix thought one of the reasons they don't report ratings, they don't report any data about their audience, so we don't really know, because their claim is that, well, it doesn't really matter how many people watched it
exactly.
when it premiered or even in the first week or the first month, because the point is we have this in perpetuity, essentially, or for very long licensing deals that they sign. So you could watch House of Cards, for example, when it first premiered.
Which is kind of the first one that
right,
really,
which was their first
Kevin
big
Spacey,
show.
Yeah.
You could have watched it when it was first on, or you could start watching it today, and it doesn't make a difference to them. But what I was reading is that apparently they've miscalculated how that would work, and that a vast majority of the audience for these shows is watching them immediately and watching them, like Trish was just saying, like all of it at once. And so there's this huge audience right away and then a much smaller audience as it goes on. And so they sort of didn't anticipate that, and the way their costs have to be spread out over time is changing because everything is happening at once. And I still believe that releasing all those episodes at once is a bad idea.
It seems to be when you have that explanation. Yeah.
And I think they're also losing out. One of the huge things about audiences for these serialized TV shows, we're talking about Breaking Bad or Mad Men, is the conversation that goes on online.
Oh my
and
gosh,
among
yeah.
Fans.
I'm like on YouTube. I'm you like reading blogs.
Yeah, and you want
like,
you yeah. want the Trishas of the world to be everybody to be on the same
page.
Exactly, the same pace of watching the show. You can't have half your audience talking about the fifth episode and the other half.
Yeah, you know, like you can't
elsewhere.
Really discuss much on Twitter because you can't do anything because some people are like, I'm only in season two.
That's
you know
the
what I mean?
Value
like it's kind
of
yeah.
Right. And when you have medium. When you have all those episodes being released at once, some of the super fans, especially with something like Arrested Development that has an existing fan base, those people watched all those episodes in one day, immediately. As soon as they were premiered, they watched them all in a row, while other people took much longer. And so you lose out a lot on that. I think you lose out on a lot of that conversation. And so many websites that there's so many of these recaps. Again, you read about Breaking Bad now. It's a huge thing about all these various writers online. And these writers seem to be at a loss about how to cover these Netflix shows.
Exactly.
And some of them just try to watch all of them immediately. I mean, I know for me writing about Arrested Development, I had to watch. I was lucky in that we're a weekly newspaper, so I had maybe 3 days to watch all those episodes. Some other people writing online had to watch all of them within a day or something like that in order to be part of that conversation and to keep up with the fans. So I think it would help a lot if a show, maybe not as much like Arrested Development because they also were trying this experiment where it was all almost one big episode as opposed to broken up, but something like House of Cards or Orange is the New Black to premiere one or even two per week.
Yeah.
And then you still have that perpetuity. Once you get past premiering all those episodes, then they're all there for years and years or for however long you want them to be there for your audience. But you still at least get that initial conversation going. I mean, obviously, people are still coming to Breaking Bad and they miss that initial conversation. That doesn't mean they're not going to enjoy it. People are still coming to The Wire, which went off the air 5 years ago or more. And that doesn't mean that they can't still enjoy it. But that initial conversation, I think, is a huge part of TV fandom and of TV popularity, especially for these serialized shows. And that's something that Netflix is missing.
Now,
but
when it comes to like Emmy Award, like the award shows and the Golden Globes, now will these Netflix shows go into that?
Yeah, I mean, the Emmys are coming up, I think just actually in a few weeks.
Yeah,
and House of Cards and Arrested Development were nominated for a few awards. House of Cards, more prominently, I believe, was nominated for Best Drama Series and for Kevin Spacey and Robin Wright for their acting. And Arrested Development was not nominated for Best Comedy Series, but Jason Bateman did get a nomination and they got some smaller ones. And even Hemlock Grove, the Netflix horror series, which is absolutely dreadful, got a couple of technical nominations.
Now, what are your predictions, since it is coming up, for Best Drama and Best Comedy?
Oh, God, you know, I didn't even prepare any predictions.
Okay, I'm saying Breaking Bad. 100%.
We know he's not saying Breaking Bad.
That's a good prediction. Well, I mean, if we're talking about predictions,
yeah.
Obviously that's a highly acclaimed show, and especially a show in its final season that usually is a big push for something because they're not going to have a chance to award it. Although the way the Emmys work, because the Emmys are based on the old traditional fall to spring TV season, the eligibility.
They'll still be
they'll probably still
year.
Be eligible
next year
because they're airing these last episodes now.
Right.
But still, obviously, that has a lot of critical momentum. I mean,
Mad Men, Homeland. I mean, it's
Homeland.
Like,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, Homeland. Have you heard any buzz about season three?
I haven't really, and I haven't had the chance to see any episodes yet. I don't know if any critics have, but I'm hoping. I think there were some issues in especially the latter part of the second season that made me concerned for the direction of the show. But I have a lot of faith in those writers. I thought the first season was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
And probably the first half of the second season was really excellent as well. Certainly that's a show that's very awards friendly. So I think all of those have a chance. Again, I don't even know who's nominated, to be honest, because I haven't prepared that.
Quite all right.
So,
I'm going to become Josh's assistant.
We can revisit that conversation, but for now we're hitting a test pattern, my friend.
Oh, it goes so fast.
It does go so fast. Thanks again, Josh Bell. Find him in Las Vegas Weekly. It's joshbellhateseverything.com.
Yes, the website. You can check me out there as well.
And on Twitter at
Signal Bleed. Yes.
Signal Bleed. It's always a pleasure to have you in here, buddy. And thank you for your work when you're not in the studio every week.
Yes, thank you.
My
we
pleasure.
Love having you being part of the show.
It's awesome. And we'll do this again soon.
Sounds good.
Las Vegas.